This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome to a special edition of Why Blank Lost, as I am already breaking up here. And we discuss the Queen of Survivor playing the game in Australia.
Yeah.
I'm David Bloomberg. And with me, of course, is, as I have said both of the times we discussed Sandra last year, the queen of this podcast, Jessica Lewis.
Well, thank you so much for that introduction. I love being the queen of this podcast, considering I'm the only other half of this podcast. I guess it makes sense that I would be the queen. And today I am emulating the queen because, as we know, Sandra, the queen, stays queen. And so I decided in her honor to wear a tiara today.
If you had told me, I'd have gotten a matching tiara. You should have mailed me one.
Could have sent you one, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we, of course, people probably are thinking, oh, my gosh, did I miss all the rest of the Australian Survivor Why Blank Lost podcast? Mm. No, we have not been doing them in general, but we wanted to do at least one for Sandra.
Yes, she deserves it, of course.
Yes. Now, we were hoping it would be Why Sandra Won.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you work with what you can work with. Now,
right.
I have been doing very short mini Why Blank Lost TikToks that hit the very, very basics in like 90 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to my TikTok and see these other Why Blank Losts for Australian Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But, you know, we'll see if we end up doing any other full podcasts later. For now, it's just this one, and we'll talk about that more at the end. But for this one, even though she is the queen, we will treat Sandra just like anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
More or less. and compare her gameplay to the rules I wrote after the first season and have been modifying ever since. If anyone would like to refamiliarize herself with the version before I update them for Survivor 42, you can find them through a link at our dedicated page at robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed. But before we get to the rules, as always, there are some things we like to discuss. The first thing I want to point out is that from now on, when anyone refers to Sandra's daughter, Nina, in a Survivor context, I believe it is the law that they have to say, she voted out her mom!
Right? I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, is she going to get the same like recognition and credit that we have seen throughout the years for a certain someone else who voted out their mother?
Yes.
Fascinating, right?
Yes, a certain someone else. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. There.
Who happens to be on our poster.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that, of course, harkens all the way back to Sierra and Laura. Mm-hmm. Appendix A on the poster. And yes, they voted out their moms. But in both cases, it was not a betrayal. They cast necessary votes that would show unity with their tribe, and they had the blessings of their moms.
Yes, they did. And I do think that that's an interesting component to all of it, is that it just shows you how important this game is to those who play it, so much so that in this idea of blood versus water, that there are people who can set aside that blood component and say, you know what? The game is more important in this particular moment, which I do really appreciate, because it must be so incredibly difficult to do something like that. But it just shows you the type of respect that they all had for this game.
What would you do if your daughter voted you out?
I would probably give her a high five. I mean, I really, because I do think that we've actually talked about this, because Hannah and I have joked around about she and I being on Survivor together. And she's like, Mom, you know what? I love you, but if I needed to. And that's okay, because I do think that sometimes it's a hindrance. And I think that we saw a lot of that in this season so far in Australian Survivor, that being with a loved one can actually hurt you rather than help you. So it's not a terrible thing if it's a better move for your game. I mean, hell, if my daughter won $1 million, it's not like she isn't going to help me out, and vice versa.
No,
so.
She probably wouldn't. Probably wouldn't.
Considering I stole her tiara for the podcast.
Oh, well. I did wonder why you had a tiara lying around, but you know.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to throw this in here, because I do an amusing side note about Jessica and her life. So my daughter, she was queen of the prom. So this is her tiara for being queen of the prom, which is so lovely. And I was so proud of her. And it was at a great moment. I just want to throw in there that I did have my own tiara, which I can't find. And I don't know why, because I was princess of my prom. So I'm just saying, my daughter one-upped me there.
I was going to say, I did not know there were princesses at proms.
Yeah, we did queen, princess. There was, you know, king.
Did everyone get a participation trophy too?
No.
Oh, okay.
There was only, and then there was court. So, and I know that a lot of schools do a court.
Court,
and so
court.
There was
otherwise court. Known as participation trophy. Yes.
Well, okay. All right. They got participation trophies, but I was princess. I'm like, oh, look at that.
You were
isn't
in
that
second.
Nice?
Yes.
Yes. I was the first losers.
Yeah.
But I had a tiara. So I thought how awesome it would be. But I don't know what I did with the damn thing. It's here somewhere in my boxes of things. But I knew, I'm like, Hannah's got one because she was the queen. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure hers is bigger than mine was. So this is much better.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well,
so that's the side note.
Yes. Yes. Talking about moms and daughters. But
that's right.
You know, besides being a mom to Nina, Sandra also functioned as a teacher to the other players.
Yes.
And that really was great to watch. She passed along so many nuggets of information, such as lecturing Amy and Jay about how they hadn't fooled her in the prior episode and explaining exactly why, as you know, as she was basically saying, I know that you're coming after me. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Jay, you're about to get booted out, you know.
Yeah. Well, but I also almost felt like at times it was too much. I appreciate the fact that she was trying to give them those nuggets and help them along in their game. But then every once in a while, I was like, Sandra, just stop talking, especially at tribal council, because I felt like sometimes it was good because she would push people and she would get them to say things at tribal council. But then she would keep talking. She would kind of end her sentence and then throw in a but and then keep going. And I was like, oh, just stop. Because the one thing that I wish she had taken advantage of more was other people's ignorance in regards to the game. She kind of gave them things to work with that she didn't need to. And I would have appreciated it more if she'd been like, you know what? I'm not sharing this bit of information with you.
See, I started to think that way. Mm-hmm. And, but then I thought about it more. I actually almost did a TikTok on like, oh, did she say too much? But I thought about it some more. I think, and I mean, we're sort of jumping ahead, but I don't think I had any plans to discuss it. But I think it was part of her strategy to be the wealth of knowledge.
Oh, sure. And I don't disagree with that.
And so that was how she was showing her worth. Hey, you know, telling this person this, telling another person another thing. And the other thing was, I don't think it, and this definitely is jumping ahead, but I don't think it.
You're
painted,
jumping ahead. Do you hear this, everyone?
It, no, it's
David
your fault.
Bloomberg is jumping
I
ahead.
I don't think it painted a bigger target on her because she already had the biggest possible target.
Oh, for so, sure. And I don't discount that. I do think that that is very true, that she was it was almost like you have to take hold of and maybe lean into something that could potentially right. be seen as a problem. And in her instance, yes, she has the biggest target because she's won the game twice. Everybody knows how she plays the game. And so how do you combat that? Well, you lean into it. But I think that sometimes there was too much of a lean. Like, she could have still done the same thing, but not necessarily provided so much. And that was the one thing that I was like, and obviously it's a very fine line, and hell, she's won twice, so who am I to judge? But it's just like, I appreciated watching the way that she interacted with everyone and how she did utilize her wealth of knowledge to make herself more significant in the tribe. But then every once in a while, I was like, just reel it in just a little bit. So you can still do both, give them the information and the knowledge, but at the same time, hold some of that information back for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's a judgment call when you're out there, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Now, but kind of related to that, I do feel that Sandra knows what we as viewers expect of her for Survivor, the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely played up to that. She made a lot of very bombastic statements like, I'm going to fly like an American Eagle and pick you all off one by one. You know, I mean, I was just loving them.
Yeah.
But those she was saying to us.
So yes.
We could appreciate them.
Yes.
And even though I knew it was very unlikely she'd be able to pull off a win, I still enjoyed it when she would say those things.
Oh, for sure. And I do love the fact that she knows how to work the audience, but then knows how to work the players. Mm-hmm. She's so very good at separating those two things out. And I feel like a lot of times players are not able to do that. There's this idea that, like, I'm going to be a character all the way through, and I'm going to be this way in my confessionals. I'm going to be this way when I'm with my tribe, and it's one and the same. Sandra's not like that. And I've always appreciated that about her gameplay. And there are other players that have pulled off the same. And it's really nice when you can watch that happening, because it gives you a little bit of an inside skinny as the viewer, because you're getting things that players are not, which is always nice.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, before we move on, is there anything else you wanted to discuss before the rules?
These challenges. Oh, my word. Did I love them? So much. They were incredibly just difficult. I don't know how they even pulled off some of these challenges. They were just the hardest looking challenges. So I really appreciate that about Australian Survivor, because they really do.
I don't think Sandra did.
No, I don't think she did. A lot of endurance, a lot of strength, just things that really, to me, speak more to the game of Survivor than some of the challenges that we see now.
A lot of beating each other up. I think the lawyers haven't made it over to Australia yet.
There's certainly like this willingness to be like, I could seriously hurt you right now. I mean, the one where they're wrestling in the water, I'm like, how is nobody drowned yet? It's like, it was crazy to watch, but loved it all the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We're back, so let's get back to the show.
All right, well, then before we move on to see how Sandra did, we just need to mention that the rules we're about to cover also come in a shorter and much more colorful version in
poster form.
We both went backwards. The wrong direction. Yeah. which I already referenced for Laura and Sierra, of course. Just go to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed. And you can scroll down. Oh, look at that. There's the poster. Mm-hmm. You click on it and, you know, it will take you right to where you can get one.
Yes. And if you are outside of the United States, you can certainly contact me directly and through Twitter. You can DM me and I can get you payment all set up and get that mailed out to you. Mm-hmm. We are still having issues with Australian mail, which is
interesting, that's annoying, that we're talking about.
Yeah. I know, Australian Survivor. And I will, I unfortunately have someone who's waiting for their poster because it's still, they're not taking the shipment yet. But we're working on that. Work in progress. It's not us. It's the mail. I know.
Yeah. Now, in addition to the poster, we also have other ways you can get the rules, of course, so that you can always have them with you. You can have it in t-shirt form. And sweatshirt form and mug form.
So many forms.
Either the classic design or the checklist that you see on the screen and that Jessica's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all these different possibilities, again, at the robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed page.
Excellent.
All right. Well, then let's go ahead on into this. Sandra came into Australian Survivor having had two outcomes in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Either she won or she was voted out on day 16. And the day 16 curse struck again. She was recognized as the queen. And in some ways, it was a miracle she wasn't the first one voted out of her tribe. Though she was the first one voted out of her swap tribe. Is that a piece of important information? We'll see. As we dig into why Sandra lost. The first and most important rule, of course, says to scheme and plot. And Sandra had historically not been thought of as a typical schemer who goes around pushing their plans. She usually stood in the shadows and waited to pounce or allow others to fight while she waited for the right opportunity. But the fact is that even starting way back in Heroes versus Villains, she had taken a more active role. I mentioned in our Winter Countdown podcast, which, by the way, we probably should have mentioned at the beginning, we have podcasted about Sandra twice fairly recently at the end of the RHAP Survivor Season Countdown.
Mm-hmm.
We podcasted about her twice winning. So in the Heroes versus Villain one, I mentioned that she told me in an interview at the time how she watched and learned from other seasons and players about what to do and what not to do, with a very important point being not only to have one alliance, but to have two good alliances and to make sure I'm in the majority.
Mm-hmm.
This is something we heard her, you know, even Nina say, oh, that's one thing my mom taught me. Always make sure you're in the majority.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's how far back this goes. So she was always keeping an eye on the situation around her in order to ensure that majority position. And as just one example, she told Shannon in her interview this week that she saw by the second night that she and three others were the only ones sleeping in the shelter while the rest were around the fire. She knew that would stick out, so she packed up, moved to be with everyone else. And several times, this sort of attention to detail saved her, though, of course, not the last, when the other players were very careful to hide it from her and Nina until it was too late.
Yes. I do appreciate the way that she goes about her scheming, too, which is kind of planting seeds. I love that she doesn't want credit for the moves. She wants to just kind of float ideas out, make people start thinking about things, and then they look towards the other person as opposed to her if stuff goes down and someone's upset or someone's angry. It's not Sandra who did it. It's someone else, but she's the one who kind of brought that idea to fruition, which I think is, it's a very difficult thing to pull off well, and she seems to do it very, very well.
Yeah, although it was funny when Sandra was like, oh, I told Amy, and now Amy's going to get the blame for this, you know. And
yeah.
Then Amy's out there going, well, Sandra said.
I know. And which is why it's a very hard thing to do,
right?
Because you have to have someone who's willing to kind of own it and be like, oh, yeah, no, this is what we're going to do, and not mm-hmm. then point the finger back. But I do think that Sandra was probably keen on that. And she's probably very good at spinning it. Like, oh, well, I just was talking to her about it. And this is what she said. And so I think that Sandra would respond to that well if presented with it down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mentioned that back in Heroes versus Villains, she noted that she watched all the other seasons. When I say I mentioned that, I mean, literally back in our Heroes versus Villains podcast, I mentioned that she had watched all the other seasons, and before coming back to play the Australian version, she did the same thing to ensure she understood this version of the game.
Mm-hmm.
She said very early on, I will lie, cheat, steal. I will scrap. I will throw down. Doesn't matter who you are. I have zero mercy for anyone. I will betray you, your mama, your daddy. I do not give a damn who goes home. I will take out anyone but me to win Survivor.
Classic Sandra.
Yes. Now, her name was brought up as a target several times before she was actually voted out, but she had solid relationships with a number of people on her original tribe, allowing her to use those people to her advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, when David was targeting her, Ben told her about it because he wanted her around for longer as an ally.
Mm-hmm.
And then they worked together with Michelle. Truth be told, it seemed like David mostly shot himself in the foot at that tribal council, or rather, I guess, ended up shooting Kate by accident. But I'm not sure what the result would have been if he hadn't done that.
Mm.
Maybe Sandra already had enough votes to stay. Either way, it was her relationships that ensured she was safe.
Yes, and I think she's such an interesting kind of mix. And I know we're going to get to, you know, her threat level as being a returning player.
What?
But I know, right? But I do love that she is able to balance everything out so well, because even in this season, watching it, I know that she wasn't the only returning player. There was other mm-hmm. returning players from Australian Survivor. Nobody stuck out, really. Like, it was like, I feel like sometimes that we see in the returning players when there's only a few of them
mm-hmm.
in the Survivor that we all know and watch,
right.
And that those people seem to be talked about as those returning players.
I mean,
it's like a bad thing, right?
One was the first one to go home,
right.
Andy, and I like him. I like him a lot, and
mm-hmm.
so I do think it was, you know, him being a returning player was a part of it, and him also having a reputation, maybe worse, having a reputation for being a sneaky returning player.
Well, right. But I feel like it was treated differently. It felt like, where it wasn't like they weren't immediately like, we have to target the returning players.
Right. Right.
And that's it. Like, done and done. Like, that's what we have to do. It was
yeah.
more like, oh, well, Andy makes sense because we know he's schemy mm-hmm. and he's sneaky, and look, he's doing it again, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I didn't get the sense that they were like immediately like, that's what we need to do before the game even started.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. Now, going back to, some sneaky people and Sandra, you know, Sophie was the next up to decide she wanted to be the big shot, and Sandra wasn't having any of that. Now, I was worried at the time she was making an unnecessary move, but
mm-hmm.
Sophie wanted her gone too. It was, you know, and this is when she told Amy, planted the seed, and then Amy went around. But even so, it, you know, like we said, it didn't affect her.
Yeah.
And then even after helping to blindside the alpha males by voting out their ally Sophie, she turned them around and got them on board for the vote against Jay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, of course, that happened because Amy turned on Sandra, wanting to target her. And once again, it was found out. And, you know, specifically when Sandra, Sam, and Michelle saw David, Amy, and Jay together a lot, they thought they were being so coy. And Sandra's like, those three are together.
Right.
The thruple, which does not mean what she thinks that means. But, you know, Sandra went to those alpha males as a lifeline, reeling them back in. And
mm-hmm.
as she later told Shannon in her interview, she tried to use her experience as an asset what I mentioned earlier, to make her someone who could help them later in the game. Yes. This was what she had going for her.
Yes. And I love the way that she presented it to them, because it really, it was one of those like kind of quiet moments mm-hmm. where they suddenly realize we're not running the show anymore, because right. now we're on the bottom. And the fact that she could come to them knowing that she was part of the reason why they now find themselves on the outs, but she is able to spin it in such a way that it's like, it's an amazingly just like Sandra-esque ability to just make them feel like, even though I was involved in your takedown and putting you where you are, mm-hmm. I'm going to help you now. And you should just really listen to me, because I'm Sandra and I know what I'm talking about. And it worked. It yeah. was amazing to watch her pull that off with such just like finesse. It was really, really incredible. Yeah,
I helped you by getting rid of Sophie.
Right. I mean, like,
she was bringing you down.
Oh, my gosh. And they bought it hook, line and sinker. And we're like, yeah, we're going to work with her. This is great.
I mean, in many ways, it was probably true, considering that, like, literally everyone on the tribe, when they were communicating to their partner, was like, she's a snake. Get rid of her. You know, but
it seemed to happen very quickly, too, though. Yes. Like, all of a sudden, everyone was like, she's a snake. It was like, that was it. Like,
I have heard that she was being even more Sophie-like around camp than we saw.
Okay.
And I think that's one reason that it flipped so quickly, was that it wasn't just strategic for Sophie, but I do believe that, you know, she was being a bit much for a lot of people.
Mm. All right. So, well, that's fair.
Yeah. Now, then we get to after the swap. And Sandra finds herself in a minority position within her new tribe. She correctly approached Dave and Amy to try to put everything behind them and start fresh.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work, but at least there was a chance it might have. So, you know, one of those things that's smart to at least give it a shot.
Right. The thing that I wish had been different, obviously, because I didn't want her to be voted out. Well, the swap, but if you think about it, the swap happens and she finds herself with her daughter, which you've already discussed could mm-hmm. be a hindrance, but her daughter is bringing with her a group of her allies.
Yes.
And really, I understand why Sandra thought she was in a good position, because mm-hmm. suddenly she finds herself aligned with her daughter, and her daughter is bringing a group of people along too. So why wouldn't she be safe? So right. I understand that idea. And so it pained me when, like, that didn't continue to work out for her, that the people she was playing with were just like, you know what? No, we're not going to do this. We're going to take her out now. So it was like this incredible moment for a little bit. Yes, and then it just went
very
away.
Very brief time. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Before we leave the first rule, I do want to say one thing I was sad we didn't get to see in regard to this rule was Sandra sneaking around and spying on people.
Yeah,
because I always loved it when she did that, hiding in a bush, you know, whatever. I blame it on the fact that there's a lot more open area where they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And also that so much of the scheming took place in open waters where they stayed cool.
I mean,
there is more scheming in the water on Australian Survivor, probably just in the episodes we've seen so far, than in like 20 years of regular Survivor.
And I do think Sandra probably found herself in a tough spot to never kind of be alone. The only time that you really saw her alone was she would be in the water, maybe by herself, mm-hmm. but she was always kind of an invisible place. And I think it's probably because they know Sandra likes to spy on people. And so you don't want to be Sandra who's disappeared. And they're like, Sandra's up to no good.
Right.
So I think that might've been a call on her part to not try to pull that off because they're going to be aware that that's what she does.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we can move to the second rule, which says not to scheme and plot too much and to keep your scheming secret. In both of our podcasts about Sandra winning during the countdown, I said, I think it's pretty clear that Sandra didn't scheme and plot too much, and she generally did an excellent job of keeping her scheming secret. I think the same was generally true here, too. It does seem like there's a lot more crosstalk here than she's faced previously in terms of like you tell A tells B, B tells C, C tells D, D tells A.
Right.
And But it really didn't come back to haunt her. She even noted early on that she would be very friendly at the beginning and be strategic so she didn't play too hard. And that's an important aspect of her game. Mm. First become their friends, then use them.
Right. And I do think that Australian Survivor is the pace of it is so different because it's so much longer.
Yes.
I feel like it's not a sprint. It's really you have to pace yourself because if you go too quickly too soon, you're never going to make it because it's what is it? 50? Mm-hmm. Is it 52 days? What is it? I don't even
49, 52, something like that. Yeah.
It's an I mean, when Sandra said she still had like 37 days to go or something when she mm-hmm. and on that 16th day, I was like, what is happening? Like, this is crazy how long they're out there. And so I do think that this kind of idea that it's a marathon and not a sprint probably causes players to slow it down just a little bit. There is a lot of crosstalk happening, but you have a lot of game to play for a very long time.
It causes the good players to do that.
Yes.
I have in over the course of Australian Survivor. Yeah. There have been too many players who came in, got to make big moves, got to make big moves.
Right.
Now, I mean, that's why last season, George sticking around, King George, sticking around, it was amazing to me because he was like the biggest of the big move makers. Mm-hmm. And so it was amazing. But usually that doesn't happen. Usually you come in there like, got to make big moves. Got it. Well, I mean, everybody listening or watching should know by now what we think of big moves.
Yeah. You know?
and that is, no, you make the smaller moves. It's even more important in Australian Survivor.
Right. And I think that Sandra is very good at doing just that.
Yes,
she understands that you need to go slow and you need to do those little things that will then get you to the end. And so she certainly has always done very well with that.
Yes. Now, one part of this rule you have already kind of brought up, and it says not to be in an obvious duo. Now, I actually worried that Sandra was in an obvious trio, not a throuple, trio with Sam and Michelle. Previously as they swung together on the giant hammock.
Like all the time.
Yeah. We have seen the hammock of doom before.
Mm-hmm.
She has seen it on Game Changers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, wasn't the hammock of doom this time. So that didn't seem to be the case. I don't know how, but it wasn't. But then Nina comes over and through no fault of either of them, they were indeed a clear duo. Even so, and I know you've already brought this up, I don't really think that was an issue. I don't think it was at least a big enough issue to cause this vote. I think if Nina had been still on the other tribe, if they had been swapped and everything had been the same, except Nina would have been on the other side, I think the outcome would have been exactly the same.
Oh, I don't disagree with you because they didn't even take that into consideration. I mean, they had talked to Nina about the prospect of it and Nina had kind of given them her blessing. But I don't think that they immediately said, we need to separate those two, because I think they understood immediately, no matter what we want to do, Nina's going to be in favor of it because she's with us. She's not with her mom.
Right. So I don't think it raised her, you know, it was considered scheming and plotting too much, which would have been silly anyway, because it wasn't like they did it on purpose. But yeah, I just don't think it played in. All right. We can move to the third rule, which talks about being flexible. During the season countdown, I noted that she's Sandra, the woman who perfected anybody but me. So, of course, she was flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And I already quoted her saying she would vote out anyone, no matter who it was. I think she had momentarily forgotten this aspect of her game during Winners at War. And she recognized that it came back to bite her. So she returned to her old ways. Mm-hmm. By the way, speaking of Winners at War, that's what I'm wearing, by the way, in case anyone sees the top of those heads there going, what is that? That's the Winners at War shirt. So anyway, for Sandra, yes, she seemed to sometimes focus on one particular person. But in this case, when she did, it was because she felt threatened by that person.
Yes.
And even then, she was willing to switch, as she did when she wanted to go after David. But then Amy and Jay became her new targets.
Mm-hmm.
And so David didn't even get a vote at, you know, that tribal council.
Right. David is such an interesting fellow to watch on television.
Yes, he is. I took notes for one of my mini TikTok, Why David Lost, you know, like, I don't know how many episodes ago, because I was sure that he was going. And,
yeah.
And he's still there. And I'm like, okay, these notes are no good anymore.
It's just, he's so very interesting. Like, I loved when his name came up too in The Last Tribal, and he was like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought that was hysterical, but just a very interesting presence about him on the television.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have anything else for Sandra in the third rule?
No, I mean, she really has perfected this probably more than anyone, because right. she is willing right. to vote for anyone except herself.
Yes. All right. The fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. Now, I think every time we've seen Sandra play, she's done everything well in regard to this rule. Indeed, I think the only time emotion came into play was at the immunity challenge after the swap, when Nina was the caller on the maze.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra stood next to her, and you could see the dilemma faced by parents everywhere, but compounded by Survivor. She wanted her daughter to succeed on her own, but she also kept seeing areas where she could help, but she wanted to interject, but mm-hmm. she pulled herself back. And I think as parents, you and I have both been there.
Oh, God. It's like that science fair project that the kid mm-hmm. keeps screwing up on. And you're like, God damn it. I need to do this myself. But it's their science fair project.
Yes.
Oh, been there so many times.
Yes. Yeah. With me, it was more like in college, you know, where one of the kids would be like, I'm having a problem with this professor. And well, if it had been high school, I'd call that teacher up and give them the what for. But it's like, oh, it's college. You really got to handle this yourself. You know,
I know. It's so hard. It's very, very hard to take that step back. We've all had those moments where, right. you know, the school issue, something happens and mm-hmm. you want to go in there and fight and yell. But yeah, I could tell you another funny story about Hannah, but I'll move on.
Oh, I don't know if Hannah would appreciate it, so maybe it's best that you do.
No, this is when she was very, very tiny, and it was okay. A mom moment.
But. Oh, okay. Okay. So anyway, the point is, yeah, even then, Sandra was fighting against it, you know, and didn't,
yes.
you know, so she did it. She did a good job.
But I do think, though, I will say, in her defense, I feel like that's the type of challenge that is, it's a repeat, right? It's something that we've seen variations of it. And I don't know if Sandra has actually done that challenge. Maybe she has. I feel
yeah,
like.
I'm not sure.
But in that particular instance, if she understands how it's going to work better, then defer to Sandra. Let her jump in there and say what needs to happen, because maybe she, I mean, because here's the thing. I understand it's mother, daughter, and you don't want to step on your daughter's toes, or you want to help your daughter, all of those things you're struggling with. But if someone else had been the caller and they were screwing up, Sandra should have absolutely stepped in there and been like, hold up, let me help. But the fact that she was holding back, I think, is kind of unfortunate, because maybe she would have done better.
I don't know, because on the other tribe, I mean, they ended up winning, obviously, but they also had too many voices yelling out for a while, and it was confusing everyone.
Oh, for sure. But that's what I'm like. It has to be one of those moments where someone else can step up.
Literally
and take
takes over.
Right.
Not just,
exactly.
Not just
right.
two voices yelling.
Right.
And I especially think it would have been confusing because Sandra and Nina do have similar tones to their
voices.
Oh, my
gosh. They really do. Don't
yeah.
they?
I mean, Nina, you know, if you hadn't told me Nina was Sandra's daughter, I would have been like, you are Sandra's daughter.
And Nina is a badass. Can
yes.
I just throw that out there?
Yes.
Wow. Her mother has taught her well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. The fifth rule talks about the social game and reminds players they need to pretend to be nice. I mentioned earlier how Sandra's move was to make friends with people and then use them. And she was a very different person from the one we first saw, what, 20 years ago, 18 years, however long ago it was, in her original seasons. Because we described her that she could get lippy in those
and
seasons.
She could get loud.
Yes. I think she mellowed a bit over the years.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I've mellowed over the years. Some people who meet me now might not believe that, but hey, you should have seen me 20 years ago. I think that she realized how important it was to ensure people liked her and wanted to work with her.
Yeah.
They needed to enjoy having her around and find her useful. And she made that happen.
Yeah, 100%. Because I do think that that type of aggressiveness that we saw in the first season she played was to her benefit that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it made people think, well, she's never going to win because right. she's unpleasant or she's been mean to people and she's yelling. And so that's going to be, people are going to be put off by that. And they're not going to like that. And she used it to her advantage. But as she's continued to play, she knows that that's not going to work for her anymore. And this is why being a returning player becomes so difficult
mm-hmm.
because everyone's seen what you've done. They know it's in your bag of tricks. So she's got to adjust it every single time, which I think she has. And I think now we do see and we have seen a much more mellow Sandra because she is recognizing that I can't pull that off anymore because everyone's going to see right through it.
Right, right. All right. The sixth rule warns against being too much of a threat. Now, I have a serious question for you, Jessica.
Okay, I'm ready.
Think about this very hard.
Okay, I'm thinking.
Do you think the four-time player, two-time winner, one-time statue, who was flown in via helicopter,
was
at all seen as a threat?
You know, I'm going to have to go with can I say the F word lootly? No. Absolutely. Yes. I mean, this is the struggle with people who are coming back, as we've already discussed. Everyone knows how you play the game. Everyone knows what you do and what makes you a successful player, what to watch out for. And like you said, she had a statue that was probably bigger than my house in Fiji of her head.
You have a house in Fiji?
Sakes. No, her. No,
I know,
bigger.
I know,
just,
I know.
You know. So, yes, I think absolutely that was seen as just a little bit of a threat, for sure.
Yeah, just a little, yes. You know, as with her previous return season, Sandra came in with a huge target. I kept expecting her to get voted out for that reason, but she kept sticking around in her original tribe, even as we would get quotes from people who recognized her for what she was. Jesse said right away, oh, I'm a big Sandra fan, but he was also worried about her.
Right.
Amy decided to go against Sandra in large part because she was scary and strategic.
Mm-hmm.
Just before Sam aligned with Sandra, she said, she's bleeping dangerous.
Yeah.
She didn't say bleep. And, you know, she was at the time on board with David, who also said Sandra was the biggest target.
Yeah. But I find it fascinating, though, that I almost feel like in this season, her threat level actually helped people want to keep her around because it's one of those things when it comes to Sandra, you know exactly what her talents are. She isn't going to be beating people in individual immunities, right?
So probably not.
Probably not. So if you keep her around into the merge and it's individual immunity, she's not going to be winning. Whether or not she's going to find an idol is kind of up in the air. She's certainly not someone who seems to be out hunting all the time. But I do think that there was some desire for certain players on this season to keep her longer because they did want to use her as kind of a shield, but then also use her for the ability to play the game the way that she does. And so I thought it was a very interesting thing to watch, even though people recognize if she gets her footing, we're going to be in trouble. But I feel like there was always that kind of, but if we get to the merge and she's still here, we'll have an opportunity to take her out. So I feel like that helped keep her there longer. And I was hoping it was going to keep her to the merge.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she obviously knew how she would be perceived.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she told us at the beginning that she planned to stay in the background, let the tribe have fun. And she wanted them to forget about her. I don't think that was ever going to happen. They were going to forget about her. But she did become a part of the tribe.
Yeah.
You know, for all the reasons that you just mentioned. But then the swap happened. And while she ended up in the tribe, like we already mentioned, with her daughter and many of her daughter's allies, those allies made up a majority of the tribe. Sandra once again told us she wanted to lay low because she knew she was a threat. She wanted to seem invisible and not make waves while letting Nina be Nina. The problem is when you're Sandra effing Diaz Twine, you can't be invisible. It is just not possible.
No, no. And I don't think her performances of the challenges was really helping either, because were starting to focus on people who were weaker in the challenges and looking at that. I know they didn't reference Sandra necessarily specifically, but you know, it was certainly something that probably was discussed and we just didn't see that.
Right. Now, Sandra hiding herself was made especially difficult because of the swap, even in terms of the challenges, which leads us to the seventh rule, because the seventh rule covers game twists and rules along with idols and advantages.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, a swap occurs. Sandra sent packing. She told Shannon something in her interview that I know you will appreciate. She said, please leave the game alone.
Yes, please.
You know, no more please. Swaps.
Swaps are horrifying and they can be great. I mean, let me tell you, my swap on my season, I was like, oh, thank God. I was like, even though I was in the minority as far as numbers were concerned, I was at that moment, I needed that more than anything. Right. I was like, okay, this is good. This is good. I've seen plenty of people, and as have you, that they get their swap screwed. Like that's a term, right? That's what people talk about all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the thing is, we know a survivor without swaps is unlikely going into the future. It happened in the past. Unlikely. So she needed to be able to deal with it, just like everyone does.
Right.
Whether you're screwed or not, you need to be able to deal with it. I mean, someone could have said you were swap screwed, but look at that. You came out ahead.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know?
And because I realized that I needed someone and I grabbed Adam.
Right.
And so it does. I think it all depends on the momentum you have going into the swap. But I do think that in this particular instance, it might have caused her to almost be a little more lax because her daughter was there and she saw her daughter coming with an army. So I think in Sandra's mind, she thought, you know what? I'm good. And she actually talked about it, how she was like, oh, I'm definitely going to be, I'm not going to get any votes. I'm okay because I've got my daughter. She has her entire alliance. Like we're going to be in the majority. We're fine. And so maybe she got a little too comfortable in that moment.
Yeah. And I don't know if she got comfortable or just knew she had to pull back. And let Nina be Nina. You know, the problem is her strategy is one that moves kind of like a slow boil. It's sort of like the story of the frog in the pot of water. You can't turn up the heat all the way or it'll jump out. So you increase it slowly.
What are you're cooking live frogs? What are you doing?
It's not me. I didn't make this up.
Well, where the hell did this story come from?
You've never heard this story before?
No. Who puts live frogs in boiling water?
Well, you don't put it in the boiling water. It'll hop out. You got to slowly bring it to the boil.
I'm very disturbed right now.
Okay,
anyway.
The point is, that is her strategy. You know, slowly befriending people, getting on their
good
side. Slowly
boiling the frogs.
Slowly boiling the people, yes. you know, making them appreciate her. But at a swap, when they immediately then lose immunity, and she's in the minority and doesn't have time to convince them of her value, although she tried, despite her, you know, all her efforts, she was just at a disadvantage.
She didn't think she was in the minority because she was with Nina, who had her army. So I really do feel like she had this idea in her head that she was going to be okay because she had Nina. And Nina had her people. And so it was like, all right, I'm okay because I'm just going to latch onto them and they're going to welcome me in and I'm good. And so I don't think she saw herself as being in the minority.
I don't know, because she did go to Amy and Dave to try to make up with them. Why do that if you think you're solid in the other group?
Okay. Well, let's go back to what you said at the very beginning of this. What did you say at the very beginning? You need to have how many alliances?
Two.
So maybe she thought I'm gonna work with the people that I had before and make nice with them. And I've got Nina over here with her crew. I will be golden either way because everyone's going to love me.
Yeah, it's a little confusing what she thought was going to happen because she said in her interview, I believe, that it was going to be Mel who was the vote. But she wrote down David. So I don't know if she thought she was part of a vote split or what the deal was.
I don't know.
But yeah, in any case, you know, it's just being in a losing swap tribe right away does not work well with her particular type of strategy.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree.
Yeah. Now, other parts of this rule, she did have an advantage in, and that was when it comes to pretty much everything about idols. We mentioned in our Why Sandra Won Again podcast at the end of the season countdown that she watched and learned from previous seasons and specifically told me back when I interviewed her originally after Heroes versus Villains that she determined, quote, if you have an idol, don't tell anybody.
Right.
Well, where have we heard that before?
Oh, everywhere.
She literally taught that strategy to other people on the season. And we even heard Croc mention that she told him in the episode after she was gone.
Yeah.
So
the idol plays this. It's just, it's kind of weird to me. It's like they can't hold on to it. They're like, I got to get rid of this now. I got to get rid of this. I got to play this now. Well,
in some cases, it's because they were, you know, public. They weren't talking about butterflies and goats, but
oh, God.
There were so many of the idols that were public
mm-hmm.
that it became a target. I mean, Khan is really the only one who's managed to hold on to one.
And he's being targeted because of it. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
listen, Survivor 101, I don't care who your best buddy is out there. Mm-hmm. Nobody else knows you have an idol. Done.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I mean, the point is, she, you know, that Sandra knew this and she was teaching it and,
mm-hmm.
you know, she was also able to figure out what was going on when it came to idols. So, you know, as part of a reward challenge win, David was sent to the Survivor store where he could pick certain items, one of which he picked up, of course, was an idol. Mm-hmm. He came back and gave a BS story about not getting any clue or anything at the storehouse. And Sandra immediately knew he was lying
because
she could just tell. Similarly, when she heard about Amy's idol, she knew exactly how to handle the vote split.
Mm-hmm.
And note, they put 4 votes on Jay and 3 on Amy, which I think was because she knew Amy was least likely to play the idol on Jay of the thruple. You know, she was least likely to play it on Jay. And it made it less likely that there would be a tie in which Sandra herself would also potentially receive 3 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're the rest of the tribe and you see Sandra in a tie with someone else. Boy, that's mm-hmm. awful tempting.
Right. You know? Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, all of that math becomes very significant in those moments when you're trying to make determinations as to how many votes to put on people, especially if you're trying to flush an idol. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, she, like I said, she brought that experience that others did not have. Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're back, so let's get back to the show.
All right. Appendix A is about keeping your end goals in mind when voting and says to vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Now, in Sandra's pitch at what turned out to be her final tribal council, she said people should not worry about voting out the so-called weak. I felt like she was talking to me here. Because you need them to have your back at the merge. Now, obviously, she was being self-serving in her comments, but she did have a point. This was another situation where she was still saying things consistent with those that she said years ago, because she told me after Heroes versus Villains, you could be strong when the tribe is a tribe, But the minute you're an individual, you're not going to win every challenge. Me being a weak player was strategy. People who want to play should write that down and remember, if you're strong, be careful. If you're weak, that's how I play.
Right. But I will say this. I think this is one of those moments where she went a little too far and it was a little too aggressive in her commentary at that final tribal council, because what did she have sitting around her? She had some, right. There was a lot of brawn.
For those just listening, you missed me showing all my muscles to demonstrate how the big men. I don't know why Jessica's laughing. I don't understand.
All that brawn.
Yes.
So I feel like this is one of those instances where she had regained the trust, right, of these three. Mm-hmm. We already talked about how she went to them and said, hey, listen, even though I was basically part of your demise, I want to help bring you back up. And so then when you're sitting in this tribal council and you're explaining to everyone how the weak are going to like come together and pick you off one by one, if you're one of those strong people hearing this, I don't want the weak people to stick around anymore now, do I? So yeah. I feel like kind of hold that back a little bit.
I mean, I think that was, I think she said that was like a 2-hour tribal council. And, you know, so I'm sure they cherry picked those things. I think she had no chance at all at that point anyway. And she may have realized it and therefore was throwing everything at the wall.
And that's quite possible, too. But I do feel like, you know, maybe the better play, if that's what you want to do, if you want to really focus on that, mm-hmm. then you need to start looking around the room and saying, OK, well, who are my weak people? Who are the weak people here that I should be talking to about this? And it was just kind of, and again.
Yeah, the problem was the strong outnumbered the weak on her tribe.
I know. So it would have been very difficult.
Yeah, the other thing is, in defense of my vote out the weak than the strong, et cetera, this is a longer game. We talked about that. It's a mm-hmm. longer game than U.S. Survivor. There are more immunity challenges ahead to win or lose. Mm-hmm. It is a more strength and endurance-based game.
Yes, it is.
It was a smart pitch for her. If she had more allies on the tribe, it could have worked. Because, yes, the main point of this appendix is look ahead to the future. Mm-hmm. If you have allies, you want that future to be with them.
Right.
But in this case, she was both in the minority when it came to allies, and she was one of the weakest in challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she tried a lot more.
Yes.
But just look at the rowing reward challenge. You could tell, you know, you could see the boat was tilting towards her because she was the weakest of the rowers, even when it just was the four women.
I think it was interesting, too, that she went against her daughter so many times. I was curious if that was something that they had discussed going into this, like if by chance we have to go, if we're split, maybe it was like we'll go against each other. So maybe if Sandra wouldn't look as weak and maybe her daughter was holding back a little bit. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I suspect there's encouragement to go up against your family member.
Yeah.
You know,
I would take Hannah down. I would take her down. She knows this.
Hannah's going to go bulk up before she goes out there with you.
She's a strong girl, but I would take her down.
Well, I mean, anyway, yeah.
I'm sorry. We're getting distracted.
Okay. It's okay. I feel like I should be texting Hannah and telling her to hop on the call to defend herself.
She would love to do a podcast with us.
But this would have been the one.
I know.
All she had to do was put in like 9 hours to watch Australian Survivor as homework.
The poor girl doesn't have that much time.
Yeah. Anyway, Sandra's strategy has indeed been to be weaker, again, as a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But to make that work, you have to use your other game skills to survive through the merge. A player needs to make sure to have the right combination of abilities that come into play at the right time and circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do think that this idea of the of kind of like owning the fact that you're a weaker player, like we've seen her do in previous seasons, right? Where she's like, I'll set out the challenge. I don't care. Like, that's fine. She liked the sit out bench. I do feel like Australian Survivor doesn't seem to appreciate that as much because, as you've said, like, it's a much longer game and the challenges are so much more difficult that, and honestly, I was so impressed by the physical capabilities of some of these players. Oh my gosh. Was it Ben? I think it was Ben. I have to look at my cheat sheet. Yes. Ben on that one challenge when he like held the weight of all of those pieces of wood. Like as long I was watching, I was fascinated. I absolutely fascinated how strong that man must be. And that wasn't the only challenge that had my mind blown with just how physically strong you must be to do this challenge. And so I feel like there's a different approach to Australian Survivor than we see here in American Survivor. I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know if that is something that people have considered as far as the weak versus the strong, but it is certainly a different type of game when you're dealing with Australian Survivor.
I think it definitely emphasizes it more.
Mm-hmm.
At least in many players. Now, obviously, it's been going on long enough that you have the strategy and the counter strategy and all that. But yes, I do think it can play more of a role because you've got a longer time frame and, you know, more strength-based challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, it's about time to wrap things up. So, Jessica, what are your final thoughts about Sandra?
The queen stays queen. Regardless of the 16-day curse that seems to be following Sandra throughout her current Survivor existence, I still am incredibly impressed with her. She was someone who I recall on her very first season watching, thinking to myself, she's never going to win. There were certain things about her that just blew me away. But then there were other things where I was like, how is she ever going to win? Because as we've talked about, she was a little bit harsh, aggressive. She would yell. She would say things. And I was just fascinated to watch her continue through the process and the Sandra that we have seen and love, because she has taken the game of Survivor and really created her own game for Survivor, which I truly appreciate. I know we have our rules and we talk about how people should play the game. She's taken the rules and spun them into Sandra, which I think is fantastic and incredibly impressive. So I appreciate the way that she plays the game, and I appreciate the way that she has continued to play the game. And I love that she has taught her daughter how to play this game and that her daughter has the same respect for it as Sandra does. So as far as watching her play Australian Survivor, it would have been great to watch her longer. I was so happy to see her go out there and take this on with her daughter. I'm excited to see how Nina does. I think that's going to be an incredible component to both of their lives. But as far as Sandra is concerned, 16-day curse, that sucks. I don't think anybody thought about that in Australian Survivor. I know Nina knew about it. I don't know if anybody else was discussing it. But she really went out there, and I think she utilized the game as much as she could, play it in the best manner that she could. You know, it's a different game than we see here, a different game than what she was playing, but she went out there prepared. She went out there and put her Sandra spin on it, really utilized her experience to try to get further in the game, and it was working. But unfortunately, Sandra is still Sandra, and you can't get past that. And I do think the players with her saw that and knew eventually Sandra is going to get her footing. And we are all going to be doomed. So we need to put an end to that as soon as we can. They had the numbers to do it. And I think it was a respectful move because I do think that they saw her for the player that she truly is. So she's still a queen. She will always be a queen. And we love you, Sandra.
Yeah. In our Why Sandra Lost podcast for Winners at War, I said Sandra's route to sticking around as long as she did was to just play the game and work with her own allies. But once again, we saw that as soon as she was outside the bubble of her original tribe, there was at least one person on the other tribe who wanted to dethrone the queen. That was all what I said for Winners at War. I don't know if the guys from the from the water tribe who swapped into her new tribe heard us discussing that and used it as like an instruction manual. But it might as well have been one, because the way it turned out this time was so similar. Sandra worked on her plan strategy well on her original tribe. She got in good with several of them and stayed mostly in the background while keeping an eye on everything around her. When someone would come after her, she would dodge and turn things around on them. And that worked until the SWAT. It was no secret that Sandra was a huge threat. Even her original tribe knew that, but decided to keep her around as an ally who could help them. Certainly, they were planning to cut her later, and I'm sure they wouldn't have had any problems getting a majority together to do that at some point. But she was a good ally for them to have for now. At the swap, things got turned upside down, and her allies were on the other tribe. Then her tribe quickly lost immunity, and everyone knew she was one of the weakest challenge performers while being one of the strongest strategic threats. She didn't have time to work her magic on them, and they weren't looking to give her that time. Her threat level was just too high. I have to admit, as a parent, it brought a few tears when Sandra realized what was happening and talked to tribal council about how Nina had to do what she had to do. But I was also glad there was no attempt to hide the outcome from the audience as we triumphantly said goodbye to the queen rather than giving us some BS red herring. This was far more respectful, not to mention easier on my heart. Sandra has earned that respect over the years, but she also earned a reputation. Nobody was going to let her get far enough to possibly win the game. Her original tribe was willing to play along with her for at least a while, but I'm sure they would have turned on her. Her new swap tribe didn't have the same interest because they already had their own allies, and she wasn't able to break through in that short time she had. And that is why Sandra lost, but the queen still stayed queen.
That's right.
All right. So with that being done, before we talk about some other things, let me remind everyone that the rules we just discussed here are available in poster and t-shirt and mug. I'm just going up and down so fast. Sweatshirt form, you name it. Go to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed.
Mm-hmm. What are we doing now?
Well, before we get to the end, I mentioned earlier, we may or may not be back to talk more Australian Survivor this season. It depends on what happens, how it happens, and when it happens in comparison to our schedules. Because, of course, we will soon be right back here covering U.S. Survivor 42.
Yay!
I was looking at the calendar, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, we got to prepare.
We got to get going.
Yeah. You know,
we got things to do.
Yes.
People to talk about.
Yes.
Yeah.
We plan to start with not one, not two, but three preview podcasts. So we're going to, you know, break it down by tribe. And then we'll, of course, be here after that every week to talk about why someone lost.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, whether we are back here for Australian Survivor or not, we all know Shannon Gus will be. So we encourage you to listen to her podcasts, though if I had to guess, I suspect most of you are doing that already anyway.
Right. She's amazing.
Yes.
Absolutely amazing.
Yes. Now, as we do move towards wrapping up here, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhasawebsite.com/patron. You can get access to all the special podcasts that are put out just for patrons. And when Rob isn't talking directly to everyone, there are the Facebook groups and Discord to keep you occupied with a great community of people, including both of us, where you could talk about Survivor, Big Brother, or just life in general. You can complain about Celebrity Big Brother, you know.
many options.
Yeah. You could support shows like ours and everything on the network by becoming a patron at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Or, hey, guess what? You can go to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostpage. And let's see, where is it? It is down here. If you scroll down, it is RHAP on Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
You can also say hello to us on Twitter. I am at JessicaLewis89 and David is at David Bloomberg. You should definitely follow us both because David likes to copy my tweets and put them out and then pretend that, like he did it first.
That's not even close to.
So you definitely need to watch both of our feeds just to keep track of who tweets things.
Yes. And if they do, you'll be in trouble.
Especially during Survivor 42.
Yes.
We both live tweet. So be prepared. Be ready. We're not trying to do spoilers, but we do live tweet during the actual shows. So I, again, am at Jessica Lewis 89 and he's at David Bloomberg. And you should also follow David Bloomberg on TikTok because this man is TikTok crazy. Let me tell you, you definitely need to check out his TikToks. There's lots of things happening. There's music, there's cartoons, there's words, there's flashing things, and there's David Bloomberg. All great stuff. You should definitely check it out.
Yes. And you can also, I left on the screen the YX Lost feed page because if you scroll down, you can click on David Bloomberg on Twitter, Jessica Lewis on Twitter, David Bloomberg on TikTok. It'll take you right there. And so you can always just use that. And of course, everyone should use the hashtag for this podcast, YXLost.
That's right.
Jessica, you mentioned TikTok. I have upped my game. I am posting generally two each day, not just one, two almost every day.
What fascinates me? I just want to step in here for one second. Okay. Because when I first began podcasting with you, there was a very strong dislike from David Bloomberg to do anything video related when it came to this podcast. Not doing it, not a chance, not happening. And eventually, David Bloomberg warmed up to the idea of, okay, we can do a video podcast. And now it's like you can't get yourself off of videos. You just want to record yourself all the time doing all this crazy stuff, talking to everybody about all these shows.
I mean, it's not all that crazy stuff. I'm not hanging from a skyscraper or anything. I'm pretty much just sitting here.
But I know, but I'm impressed that you were we're not doing video stuff. And now you're like, watch me go.
Yeah, well, and a lot of the videos are taking clips from shows and, my own take on those clips from the shows. So,
I know, and I'm terrible. I don't support you. You ask me for things. I'm like, yeah, maybe. And then I never send it.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, you still owe me that. But
I do. I'm the worst.
It's not even a trend anymore.
I know. I missed the trend. Oops.
But so I'm out there covering everything from Australian Survivor to Celebrity Big Brother to Amazing Race to even Joe Millionaire.
Right. Okay. We had to do this podcast later so you could watch it, so you could live tweet.
Yes. Well, someone's got to live tweet Joe Millionaire. It's not going to live tweet itself.
You're so dedicated to the cause.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
That's great.
And then just so everyone knows, if you're not on TikTok for some reason, well, you can get there. Just create an account. You don't have to post. Just create an account and watch the videos. But I also post them to Instagram on a delay in general. So I'm David.E.Bloomberg there. And we even did, as part of the RHAP 12 for 12, we did a takeover for an hour. It was me and Jordan Kalish and special guest Jessica Lewis stopped by.
My dogs, too.
Forced Tiffany off the screen.
No, listen, do not spread that rumor. You kicked her off and then you blamed me. I never said to kick Tiffany off. You were like, Tiffany, Jessica said you got to go. So you got to get. That did not happen. Stop spreading rumors that are not true.
In my mind, it did. So
it did not. It did not. Tiffany, it didn't happen. Okay. Love you. Tim, it's all David. It's all David.
Can't
God,
be right.
These Davids, right, Tiffany? These Davids.
Can't be.
They haunt us.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So also, everybody should make sure you're subscribed to all the RHAP Survivor podcasts by going again to our YX Lost feed page. You'll find great content like the Know-It-Alls, the B&B, the podcast from Taryn, from Shannon, who we already mentioned, and much more.
This is like the longest ending ever. My gosh, I'm so sorry, everyone who's continued. Thank you for continuing to listen.
Don't be sorry. This is where, there's so much extra humor and good stuff here.
I know. It is rather fun. I appreciate them all for sticking around. So I would like to say thank you so much to Scott St. Pierre for all of the editing that he does for not only Why Blink Lost, but RHAP in general. A ton of editing. He's incredible. He works throughout all of the nights. getting all of these things posted. So thank you so much, Scott, for that. And thank you to Will from America for our incredible theme song. We love it. It's very catchy. You should definitely check it out. So thank you so much for that, Will. And thank you, David Bloomberg, as always, for being entertaining and fun and a lovely king of this podcast, as I am the queen of this podcast.
Yes. Thank you, Jessica, also for joining me in this little foray into Australian Survivor. Thank you for being the queen of this podcast. And everybody else, we will see you soon for at least Survivor 42 and who knows what else.
That's right.
With that.
Bye.
Survivor and you're feeling down. David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost. And this is why blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why blank lost.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.